You have to have a question. You have a question?
No.
So you need to look it up. You'll look it up tomorrow.
Yeah,
you'll ask me tomorrow. Okay? As far as the Ramban and the Rimagash, I only ask you for what reason only, and that is that you saw that the Rimagash says what?
Lashon HaKodesh, yeah. For the Shavua, but if you are making the claim and I'm bringing you to court and the denial, all of that can take place in whatever language you want, but the Shavua Atma needs to be taken to Lashon HaKodesh.
Okay. Now, so the first question that you have to ask is, where did the Rebbe Gash get this from, that the Shavua itself has to be the Lashon HaKodesh? So what's the answer? Yeah, but he interpreted the statement of the Gemara, Afi Bilshona Nevra, unlike Rashi and the other Rishonim,
yeah,
who interpreted to mean Afi Bilshona Nevra, that means
any
language. The Rimagash, just the opposite, interpreted Afi Bilshona in its language, is the meaning. What do you call it? Its language? The language of Lashon HaKodesh. That it has to be said by Lashon HaKodesh. Now, Rashi obviously disagrees, and many Rishonim disagree. Who remembers the Rambam?
He says Lashon HaKodesh. We were mentioning that in our...
So now as far as, is there anything in the Gemara itself other than that line, which obviously can be interpreted either way,
yeah.
Is there anything else in the Gemara that would seem to support either Rashi or the Rimagash? Yes.
So for the Rimagash and the Rambam's position that it needs to be in Lashon HaKodesh, to me it seemed very striking that we had to say Psukim in Hebrew. And to me that struck me as something like, oh, maybe the proceedings are going on in Lashon HaKodesh because now they are required to say these Psukim. The Beis Din is required to say these Psukim in front of... I'm going back to it. Mipnei. No, is that the one? Yeah, Mipnei. Am I looking at the one?
Sarah is going to be on there.
Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Just to help me find it more quickly.
Yeah, it's near Pochinotomia.
I thought it was also, but now I can't find it. Oh, Suru Namel. Oh, halei hanashim harashim ha'ela, .. The fact that that is said, the fact that as this person accepts that I'm going to take a shvua as opposed to pay you for the modeh b'miksat, right? I'd rather swear than pay you. The Beis Din looks at each other and they look at him and they say, because of you, like, we're going to say this pasuk in Lashon HaKodesh. So I thought that was like a support.
Well, I don't know if the pasuk needs to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Where does it say that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe they can say it in English, I don't know. Where do you see that?
I just assumed. But
why?
I guess, you know what they say about assuming things. So
that's anybody have any comments to make about the Gemara itself, whether it sheds light on whether the Rambam, the Rimagash versus Rashi? Yes. Where are you?
I'm in the Gemara and I'm at that.
Okay.
When he's saying Haydana the Ashba Bashem Okay Shemaim Nasa Kni Shikanaba Prabhupada Mishnah Kodar means being that means without Nikita Khaifas.
Yeah.
But it says Ashba Bahashem Okay Shemaim.
Yeah, but how do you know it has to be in Hebrew?
Because to say that we need Hashem's name, that would imply that you need to be, that it needs to be in Hebrew.
I don't know. What is Rashi?
So I'll use your support for what you said in Shir. I mean, in Seder.
Yeah, well,
in that, what was mentioned in Seder between us is that the fact that this Tosafta starts with Hatzayanim Af Hi B'Lashon HaNemra would be in support of, like, if you think back to the other Mishnah that we've been looking at, in Sota, in the seventh part of Sota, it lists all these things that are done in Bechol Lashon.
Yes.
So because we're saying Af He, right, so too, this case of Shuas HaDayanim, this Shvua B'Lashon Nemra is in the language that we use for all types
this
of other shvuas.
This thing about Sota, where are you getting this from?
The Tosefta and Sota Parzayan.
Okay.
Mishnah? It is a Mishnah.
Yeah, no, that's not what I'm asking. Okay, you have the right idea. It's just that
I can't claim it was Hannah.
Did our Gemara and Shavuos mention this?
Did our Gemara? It said. What do you mean? It says off.
No, you don't.
Not, maybe I don't know what.
Repeat again. What
it does say it later on in the Tosafta, in this one here.
Yeah, what does it say?
It brings up the other types of Shavuos, but I can't pinpoint it in this moment.
Up
I need
the
to...
other types of Shavuos. What do you mean? What
here, I'm looking halfway through Lama Tedamad Aleph.
Yeah.
Kiditznan. Elu Ne'emrin Bechol Lashon Parshat Sota Vidui Maser Kriyat Shema Tfila.
Back up a second.
Where did I read the wrong one?
No, you didn't, but just back up.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you want to start from?
Right where the Gemara begins, Mai Af, Ki Belashon Ne'emra.
What does that mean?
So what does it mean to say when this Tosefta tells us Belashon Ne'emra? What does that mean?
And what is the wrong answer?
That it seems to be Belashon or Kol. Like any language you want to use, Kol Lashon.
How do you see it?
So first, it brings in this Mishnah, which is talking about... I mean, not first brings in. It talks about things that you can say in any language. And V'ka'amar nami shuas adayanim. And we say this also with regard to shuas adayanim, that off to Belashon, off he Belashon Ne'emra.
So what does that sound like to you?
That any Lashon you want to use.
Yeah. This Gemara seems pretty clear that Rashi's right. No? Look what the Gemara there said. The Gemara asked, my afi belashon ne'emra. What does it mean? Afi belashon ne'emra. So what does the Gemara answer?
And it brings in...
It quotes us the Kiddushin. It's based on the Mishnah that there's a whole list of things that could be said in any language. The Parsha Sota. You know what these things are? Vidui Maser.
Mm-hmm.
That's the confession that you took off all the Trumas and Masros. Kriya Shema Tfila Birchas Hamazon Shavuos HaEdus Shavuos HaBikardon. That's what it says. That this can be said in any language. Uka Omar Nami. And now this Tosefta, this Brisa, right? This Tosefta from Sota. Uka Omar Nami Shavuos HaDayonim Afi Bolashonanem. Because look back at Lamed Tes Lamed Ches Amud Beis at the bottom. Tana Rabbanish was at the Afi. What's Af?
Even this.
What do you mean by even?
In addition.
Not in addition to that whole list, which had on that list was Hades and Shuas Abikadon, Afi Goloshonanem. The simple read of the Gemara is what does it mean, Afi Goloshonanem? But to say they can be said in any language. How does the Rambam and the Reed Magash read this Gemara?
I didn't.
Yeah.
So when we read the Ramban, I didn't think that the Ramban's proof was like a full fledged proof. So maybe we should read the Ramban first, and then I'll explain
what
why.
Do you mean?
So the Ramban, when discussing which lashon this should be spoken in, or like any language, or in Hebrew, he says that it can be spoken in any language. You can take Shavuos HaDayanim in any language, and part of his proof that he uses is the Shavuos HaEzus and Shavuos HaPikadon. V'ka'amar nami shuas adayanim. Afi b'lashon ne'emra. He quotes our Gemara.
Exactly what I just said.
But then he says, kelomar, af shuas adayanim k'shuas habikadon hi, v'ne'em
mart,
b'chol lashon.
That's right.
So then later on he says that teda de shuas habikadon. Am I skipping too far ahead? Like, do you want to address
it? I don't have it in front of me, so keep reading.
Oh,
I don't know.
You want.
Teda what?
Teda de shvuas habikadon gufa shvuas hadayanim hi berov. That you should know that majority of the shvuas habikadon themselves are actually shvuas hadayanim. Did we misinterpret that line?
I
think it's at the bottom on the right hand side, middle column. If I remember correctly, I think. Unless the page got messed up. It starts with Hachi.
What was the other one in Sota? Do we have a Sota here?
No, I brought the Bava Mitzvah.
Okay, so I'll just have to remember. It says Bechol.
I'm sure there's a Sota.
Yeah, yeah, there's a whole set.
Just long as Adam.
Yeah, so what's he saying? Teda, the Shvuos HaPikadon Gufa. Shavuos HaDayanim hi berov.
That majority of the Shavuos HaPikadons that are taken.
I don't know about the majority, but many of. Oh, yes, the majority, right? And that's it. And the majority is.
Yeah. We just had a Shvuah Hadayah. What does he mean by that? We thought like 9 times out of 10, like Shvuah Hadayah is a Shvuah Hadayah.
What is it?
And because
why is it a Shvuah Hadayah?
Why is it?
Yeah. Why only Baruch? What's he talking about?
That maybe there's that one case in which Shvuah Hadayah is...
Is what?
Not a Shvuah Hadayah.
What case is that?
If he's not modes of mimic, that there's no reason for it to be
a Shvuah Hadayah. What does Shvuah Hadayah have
to do with watching.
No, I'm saying there are cases of Shvuah Hadayah that don't involve modes of mimic.
He's asking for what example that is.
Okay, that the Shvuah Hadayah gufa Shvuah Hadayah in Hebrew.
Well, most of them are.
Most of the Shvuah Hadayah are Shvuah Hadayah.
Which is modes of mimic. And then there's...
How is that a Shvuah Hadayah?
No, I thought it was that... That we said at the beginning that Shvuah Hadayah is in a general category that doesn't only refer to Shvuah Modi B'Mitzvah, but here they're using it specifically to refer to Modi B'Mitzvah.
I know, but what does he mean what he's saying here? The Shvuah Hadayah don't go for Shvuah Hadayah in Hebrew.
I really thought it was like 9 times out of 10, Shvuah Hadayah is Shvuah Hadayah.
When are those 9 times?
Like when it overlaps.
What are the situations where
you have my Pikad, you have 2 of my Pikadons, you have 2 of my watches. And Rav Khan, you say, no, Rachel, I only have 1 of your pikadons.
So you're just saying that the Shvuah, so why are you calling that Shvuah Hadayah? That's not what Shvuah Hadayah was about. It's not about motive that makes sense.
Was it not that, like, you were watching my pikadon?
I know, but you're making it, turning it into a case of motive that makes sense.
So not
could it be a Shvuah Hadayah when there's an Eid Echad or something like that?
No.
I think we're making this, unnecessarily difficult?
A general Nigna kit, like,
it's a case of a shomer who claims an onus happened. He's referring to, remember what we learned in earlier, that Shvuah Hadayah. What is included under Shvuah Hadayah? You can have the case where he says, I don't have your item. And then he swears that he doesn't have it.
This is Kokarakol.
And then he's modeled later on that he lied. But I thought he was just referencing is that the Shvuah Hadayah, what can be included under Shvuah Hadayah, is also Shvuah Hashomer. Where the Shomer, what? What's the din when a Shomer claims an onus happened and then he has to swear, right?
Yeah.
So that's also called the Shvuah Hadayah. Now, in those instances, it's basically the Shvuah Hadayah, isn't it? He's saying that that itself is the Shvuah Hadayah. And if it is, then what?
Well, that's allowed to be done in any language. I thought that's what he was saying.
Yeah, because Shvuah Hadayah. So included, what he's getting at is that clearly Shvuah Hadayah, he's saying, can be said in any language. That's what the Mishnah said. And then he's pointing out that Shvuah Hadayah is included in Shvuah Hadayah because you have many cases of Shvuah Hadayah which are Shvuah Hadayah. Then by definition, then Shvuah Hadayah should also be allowed to be said in any language. That's all he's trying to say.
Yeah, I'm not.
So, but the point is that, of course, he concludes the Kanta of Harav Halevi. What is that?
He thought the Rimi Gosh erred.
Okay. So the only thing I wanted to say was that I thought of just why would the also just one thing, how would the Rambam and the Rimi Gosh interpret this Gemara? So what I'm about to I saw it somewhere. It's a difficult answer, but it's the only answer I think you could say.
Was it the Evan Hazel?
That what?
Was it the Evan Hazel?
No, I didn't see it there. That when it says, my afi b'lashon, okay, if you take, so the Gemara quoted the Mishnah Kidisnan, Eilun Emar B'chol Hashem, etc.
Yeah, I think.
If you look up that Mishnah.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
So the second half says, and these are the things that are said b'lashon HaKodesh. So maybe when it says, afi b'lashon Anem, around reference to Yeshua Zayim, attaching it to the second half.
Yeah. But then, of course, so then you have to read our Gemara the following way. Kiddushan, Elo Ne'amar B'chol Hashem Parsha Sotu Vidu Ma'aseh Kirishma Tefilo Uber Hazamazu Shvuah Hadayah Shvuah Hadayah Kodom V'chulei.
Oh, I think we suggested that,
we
actually.
Did.
We might have. Behule and et cetera.
And it left out the important part.
Left out the important part.
Or the relevant.
Look,
the relevant.
What happened.
And then, after, and then after the behule.
Then it's
ve'afibulus. It's a very difficult.
Yeah.
Can you repeat the read one more time, please?
It's just, the Gemara just cited the beginning of the Mishnah, but it didn't cite the second half of the Mishnah, which is the critical part.
Do we know? Do you recall who?
But it just finished. So therefore, when the Gemara just began to cite the Mishnah, it just cited the beginning, but you have to realize that the part of the Mishnah in Sota that the Gemara is really citing is the second half, where it gives examples of halachos where they must be said b'loshon hakodesh. Like, for example, I think mikra bikurim has to be said in loshon hakodesh. No, kriyashma can be said in loshon.
Never mind.
Maybe birchas kohanim.
Yes.
I don't remember.
Yes.
So then it's only really after that, that's when af shvus ha'dayanam dolshon ha'namra. It's really going on the mikra vikurim example, those examples that have to be said by Lashon HaKodesh. Okay. It's a difficult, because then the Gemara should have just cited that second half of the Mishnah, not just the first half, and then, okay. Anyway, but, so to me, the Kash is better than the Teres. What are the Teres can you give? You know?
Well, we thought it was the awkward, can I say that? The awkward Lashon of Afhi bilashona namra, as opposed to saying, which the Gemara, the Mishnah and Sota started by saying bechol lashon, which is very obvious.
The problem is the Gemara quoted all these examples of things that could be said in any language. And the Gemara, on that, the Gemara then said, "Mishvos hadayonim
afhi."
So it's not the word bilashon. Yeah, the word bilashono you can interpret in
either way. Yeah.
Either way, it's the context. So, this Gemara that indicates that it should mean any language.
Have you encountered other Tanaitics, like either a Mishnah or a Brayta or a Tosafta, that literally begin with Afhi, like so too? Because it's a little unnatural that this Tosafta begins Afhi. Even this is in a relation to what? I mean, I guess that's part of where the ambiguity comes up in what we just explained.
That's right. So the only thing I wanted to suggest, and this I can only suggest it in the Rambam. The question is, why should a Shavua require a Lashon HaKodesh? So, I just had one thought that occurred to me is that, do you recall the Rambam? The very first halacha in the parak that we went over in the Rambam, who recalls that very
it's
first?
It's a mitzvah. It's a really great
mitzvah to do
say
what?
To say b'shem Hashem.
To swear b'shem Hashem, and he even went on to call it. It's like an avoda to swear, to take a shvuah b'shmo tishaveya. That was the pasuk. And the Rambam said that this is a great mitzvah to swear b'shem Hashem. And it's almost like an avoda. We compared it to an avoda, if you remember. So maybe the and the Rambam says, and I am assuming, according to the Rambam, when you say the Shem Hashem, this big mitzvah, which is an avoda as well, to say the Shem Hashem, it should be b'Lashon HaKodesh. So maybe that's the reason why you need Lashon HaKodesh for the Shem Hashem, and maybe it's because of that. That the whole Shavua, which is centered around centered around God's name, because you have to have the Shem Hashem. Maybe that's why the whole thing has, the whole Shavua I'm talking, has to be B'Lashon HaKodesh, because the Shem Hashem should be B'Lashon HaKodesh, because it's considered like an avoda. So maybe this public avoda of saying God's name requires the Shem Hashem.
And to be in Hebrew.
To be in Hebrew, yes. I don't know. Something. No. Anyway, that's all I just, yeah.
Was there anyone in particular who gave that explanation or defense of the opinion of the Rambam and the Rimigash?
About this Gemara?
Rav Moshe Kahn.
Which one?
The one that you just shared before, explaining that the they were reading Alma Gemara as referring to the second half of the Tosafta.
I did see it. It could have been on one of them, on one of the portion on the Rambam. I don't remember which one. Maybe whether it's the Magen Mishnah, Lecha Mishnah, Kesef Mishnah. I don't remember. I think I saw it there.
All the Mishnahs.
Oh, before I forget, we have to schedule a midterm.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of the following. Well, next week is Purim.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking the following week you'll have Chazara, and then the following, and then the Monday after
April
that.
1st.
That's what it is.
April
1st.
And April 1st will be the midterm. Okay.
I'm still a fan of Thursday.
Now, do you want to decide
like,
already?
If we can get the exam.
I thought,
can you send us an exam on the Thursday before?
Like, meaning on the 28th?
Work on it over the weekend, they can.
Can, and then...
You can, you'll take it over the weekend, or you'll start to take it, you mean?
I'm just a fan of taking it on Thursday, so therefore, like, if I'm taking it Monday, I don't need to be done with it by, let's say, Monday at midnight, but if I start taking it on Thursday, I have 3 days.
That's what I'm asking, guys.
You signed it? And then, yeah.
He wants to know if we're going to be starting class on the 1st or on the 2nd.
No. Letting you use the 1st for the...
Yeah, so
it's just that if you'd rather start taking the exam before...
The option to start taking the exam.
Right, okay.
Some of us might take it on Monday. Some of us might start it...
Okay, so I'll send it to you Thursday or Friday, hopefully.
No, I'll probably take it on Monday.
Assuming that I have it, I'll send it to you before Shabbos.
Thank you.
Hopefully on Friday. Or Thursday if I get it done.
So meaning our last day of class for this Bechina would be on the 19th, which is Erev Tanis, Esther.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Amazing. Now, I would think that maybe where we are right now in the Gemara would be a good place to have the midterm until this point.
Where we are in the Gemara, meaning not the new
meaning not starting the new Gemara.
Not the new Gemara yet.
Not Shmuel and Rambam.
But through what I just said now, through this...
The Rambam.
What we just discussed.
So I should put a post-it in, because then the next Gemara is not going to be on it?
We'll be on the final, or we'll be on the midterm.
What do you mean by put a post-it?
Like put a post-it to like stop, because
okay.
I'm here for now.
So let's start the new Gemara. This is a harder...
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I don't like this. No, I just feel like I could tell you.
Yeah, you can tell me.
You don't have to, I don't like everything.
No, you don't.
I really don't like it.
I do
yeah.
like
but
it.
But it's all
Torah.
I know
you
like
it.
Thank
God.
I like it.
Yeah, so I like it even more because it's from God. I don't have to like it because for any personal reasons other than that.
That
I think
beautiful.
The Gemara would feel uncomfortable if you liked it for personal reasons.
Okay. Don't get caught up in the academics.
It just makes it easier to learn.
Yeah.
It's a very Rav Salvation idea. It does. But I think sometimes...
If you like it all the way through, then maybe you don't think about it as much. But if you don't enjoy it at the beginning and then you figure it out and you like it more, then
what do you think, Rob and Shmuel?
Maybe if I figured
this?
It out easily, then I would like it.
Right, no, I feel like the fact that we were struggling with it in Seder. So
last semester was really hard, and I didn't feel it this way. Last semester, I thought it was hard, but
yeah.
I thought it was a cool. Like I liked it, but that's just me and money and numbers. I'm just not.
But you don't have to know numbers here so much.
I know, I don't know.
Except the number 2.
Yeah.
Also more, like if, I don't
know. The number 2, that's about
and
it.
And
maybe
one.
It's just Nezikin. I'm just...
I love
it's
Nezikin.
I know, it's
I love Nezikin.
Yeah, well, next year we're doing Nasha.
But have you decided? Is it Yavamos or
Tsuvos?
Have you done Gittin recently in GPAPS?
Yeah, sure, we've done Gittin.
No, recently, though.
I don't know how many years ago.
I was just wondering if they've done Gittin. That was my only question.
Yeah, we did.
For now.
Okay, new Gemara.
Yeah.
So here, the Gemara, now we're familiar, we've mentioned this a lot earlier. Rashi had referenced it already back on in his Perush to the Mishnah, to the opening Mishnah. But here is where the Gemara actually states the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Because the Mishnah said, Hatana Shtei Kesef, that's what the Mishnah says, Hatana Shtei Kesef. And now there's a debate, actually, what the word Tana. The word Tana means clay. There's no debate about that. But what is the word clay? Yeah, what is the word claim referring to? So Rav says that the word claim is referring to the kfira claim of the nitva, right? But when he responds back to the Tovea, he is kofir shtei kesef. And Shmuel says, no, the hatana shtei kesef, the word tana is referring not to the kfira claim of the nitva, but rather the opening claim of the Tovea to the nitva. So the opening claim of the Tovea, according to Shmuel, that's what Shtei Kesef is. Now let's go over each one. So according to Rav, who thinks that the Kfira itself is Shtei Kesef, then obviously the original claim would have to be Shtei Kesef plus at least another Pruta. Because we want a case of Moda B'Mitzah, so he's got to be Moda to something. And he has to be kofir shtei kesef, so you have to add on another pruta, at least another pruta that he is moda to. So then you got a case of moda b'mitzas. So the original claim would have to be two kesef plus a pruta. And according to Shmuel, no. The only halach of shtei kesef is in the original claim. But how much does the hodah or the kfira have to be? That could be as little as a pruta. The hodah could be just a pruta, or the kfira could be just a pruta. So for example, the original claim has to be shtei kesef. What shtei kesef? Let's say two ma'os. Okay, remember how many prutos are two ma'os?
12?
No.
6 ma'at to a...
How many prutos?
4, 8, 24.
Stop it!
do you want us to look at the list you originally told us?
No, you have to remember.
I want you to remember it.
Well, a ma'at is a...
Is one
what?
32.
Oh, yeah,
is
I remember
what?
That.
Pruta is one
ma'at. Is one ma'at.
So it's 64. So two ma'os are 64 prutos. So
I was getting closer. Wow. I was going up.
So what would be as follows? I come to you and I say to you, you owe me, according to Shmuel, now I'm saying, you owe me two ma'os, which is 64 brutos. So you say back to me either one of the following. Either you say back to me, I only owe you 63 brutos, but I'm kofir what? One bruto.
This is Shmuel.
Yeah, what would be the din of Yechayev Shmuel of Moda B'Mitzvah?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's not
or,
even worth it
or you're Moda to one Pruta and you're Kofer 63, again, you're Yechayev Shmuel of Moda B'Mitzvah. As long as the original claim is what? Is Shtei Ma'os, it doesn't matter after that whether the Hodah is at least a Pruta. Or the Kfira could be at least the Pruta.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But according to Rav, the Kfira itself has to be
the 60
to most. And then the Gemara after that says what? Omar Rava. Deka masnisim kavase de Rav ukroi kavase de Shmuel. Who can tell me what that means?
I'll go from here because I don't understand anything after this. That according to Rav, we have two teachings that are like him.
Say, I'm
not. Rav says that in accordance with him, there
Rav
are.
Rav says.
Amar Rav.
Amar Rava.
Oh, Rava, sorry. I knew we didn't say that. So Rava says that we have two Mishnayot that support Rav's opinion.
Yes.
And for Shmuel, we have Sukkim that support him.
Okay. So what Rava points out is that if you take a look, if you examine the Mishnayos, and he'll mention which ones, the Mishnayos, if you look at the Mishnayos, they seem to support Rav's opinion. Well, if you look at the psukim and examine the psukim in the Torah, it supports Shmuel's position. And the Gemara is going to proceed to tell us the Mishnayos that seem to support Rav, and then the psukim that seem to support Shmuel. Mm-hmm. But before we actually get into it, you have to understand this in the proper context. Is the Gemara saying that the psukim prove that Rav is wrong?
No.
Okay, so then what is the Gemara? What is
interesting.
When
it says, I didn't think
of it
like that.
The psukim support Shmuel. What does that mean?
Meaning, I don't know.
It's not an asmachta.
I thought it would just bring like parallel. They're trying to figure out which one is right, but they have proofs for both.
If you look at Mishnayos, it supports Rav. If you look at the pasuk in the Torah, it supports Shmuel. So what I'm asking is, if the psukim supports Shmuel, then how could Rav disagree? Rav can't argue with the Torah.
So can I suggest something that we didn't discuss yet? So this is going to be like a new idea. We haven't fleshed it out yet in Seder.
Okay.
So if I'm a little crazy, okay, that maybe Shmuel is describing the Deoraita level law, but then there's this added chumra that Rav is describing that we see in the Mishnayos.
Okay.
No.
Is what Rav's saying against
that's
the Torah?
That's really what I thought was going on. What?
Is Rav saying something that's against the Torah?
No, he's just adding
so
on another layer.
So he must be interpreting
the Torah. How do the psukim support Shmuel? The Gemara is telling you that the pasuk supports Shmuel.
Right.
Okay.
It must be that Rav's understanding of the psukim is like Shmuel, but there must also be another pshat of the psukim that does support Rav.
Well, then why do the psukim then support Shmuel?
Because Rav thinks the pshat of the psukim supports.
Well, Rav was trying to explain
the
machlokas.
Rav thinks that Rav is wrong?
No, he thinks that there's two potential explanations of the psukim.
Yeah.
And that the more convincing one is Shmuel.
Okay, now you're saying it better.
Yeah, that's not what I said at all.
No, it's not.
I missed something.
Okay.
You can hear it on the recording.
Makes sense.
What Hannah said is right. It's not that Rava is claiming that the psukim can only be understood according to Shmuel's opinion. If that were the case, then Rav would have to accept defeat. He would have to give in and acknowledge that he's wrong, because he can't be holy with the Torah. So, right?
I don't know why we thought that.
Right, it's a very simple thing. You can say whatever you want, but just don't end up arguing with the Torah itself. So what the Gemara really then means is that if you examine the psukim, the simple read of the psukim, what's the most obvious understanding of the psukim, would be in accordance with whose opinion?
Shmuel.
Now, Rav will interpret the psukim, but it's not as convincing and as forthcoming as Shmuel's position. But we're not saying that Rav is wrong. Rav can interpret it his way too, but it's not the simple read of the psukim. And the same thing probably will be with the Mishnayos that Rav feels at first glance support Rav. I mean, what is Shmuel going to say about those Mishnayos? He's going to have to interpret it also. Because if he can't, Shmuel's an Amar, he can't argue with a Mishnah. Right? So then he would also have to accept defeat. So what we're talking about is, this is nuanced, meaning, you know, Rav is supported more by the Mishnayos, but of course Shmuel will have a response. But the simple read of the Mishnayos support Rav, and the simple read of the Psukim of the Pasuk support Shmuel. So the Gemara starts off with the Mishnayos that support Rav. So how many Mishnayos does the Gemara cite?
Two.
One of them is our Mishnah, and the other one is a Mishnah in Baba Metzia.
Yeah.
So our Mishnah, what? So what's the point? How does our Mishnah seem to support Rav? Who can tell us?
It doesn't say that the Fira is Shtekas, and it only says the Hodah. Sorry.
No, you're explaining
it
wrong.
It doesn't say. No, I just said the wrong word. It doesn't say that the Kefir is a pruta. It says the Hodah is a pruta.
The only thing where it says that the Hodah is a pruta. Now, if Shmuel is right, that the Kefira only has to be a pruta, then the Mishnah should have said that too. It should have said, Atana Shtekas, Vahahodah, O Hakfira, pruta. It doesn't. So therefore, it mentions Hatana, Shtei Kesef, mentions Hodah. So that convinced Rav. So what does the word Tana then mean in the Mishnah Hatana?
Kfira.
Because otherwise, it's not mentioned Kfira. See, according to Shmuel, you have to say that the Mishnah just didn't mention Hodah has to be a Pruta, but didn't tell us that the Kfira has to be at least a Pruta. We sort of have to assume that on our own. I mean, so, but the simple read of the Mishnah supports Rav. And also this other Mishnah in Baba Metzia where it gives a list of situations where there's a din of a pruta. That's what that Mishnah is about.
Yeah, can you are we going to go over that?
No, because it's not relevant for us. The one, though, it says there that the Hodah is a pruta, right?
Yeah, what does that mean?
But it doesn't mention there what? That the Kfira is a pruta. And according to Rav, there's good reason why it doesn't, because the Kfira has to be Shtei Kesef, not a pruta. Because that submission is a list of halachos where the din is a pruta.
Oh, so as I say, just to clarify, it's literally just giving a list. That's all we need.
That's all.
Is that outrageous?
Okay. No, that's what we got. We knew it was listing things.
Okay.
So you have to know what's relevant for what
we did. We did. We moved on. Fairly quickly.
I mean, you just have to know that the Mishnah is giving you a list of halachos where there's a din of a pruta. And Kfir is not on the list. And if Shmuel is right, it should have been on the list.
Yeah.
Hodah is on the list, but not Kfir. Okay?
Just saying, this is not the simple read.
So that's very, that part of the Gemara was not difficult. And now comes the more difficult part, the next 10-15 lines, and really to get through it, it was not so easy. So then the Gemara says, "Ukroi kavasei dishmua." And now the Gemara is going to now explain, Rava is going to explain, because Rava is the one that said it, that the psukim support, at least at first glance, support shmua. So let's see how the Gedichsiv. Rachel, you want to just read? Because I'm a little tired.
Sure. Ukrai kavatei d'shmuel d'chtiv ki yitin ishal re'ehu kasef o kelim l'shmor.
So that's the pasuk.
Ma kelim shnayim av kasef shnayim ma kasef davar chashuv av kol davar chashuv.
Is that where it ends?
I think that's where the first one ends. What do you mean when you say?
Well, is that where this?
That's where the first.
Gemara is trying to demonstrate that the pasuk supports Shmuel. So did you finish?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Well, it's the next pasuk.
You have to read one more line.
I think you just mean.
Oh, they smush them together.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter that they're different.
No, did we think about that?
No, I put a semicolon. Just read.
Okay.
We need to figure this out.
Vika Amar Rachmana Kihuzet.
Period.
I did put a period
there,
too. That part is... So there are two things that... Where does it say ki huza?
In Tupsukim later.
Tupsukim later. So the
I thought that was a separate proof.
No.
This is fascinating. Yeah. This is where we were stuck, yeah. So this is great.
That's not a separate proof. This is all part of... This is it. This is... All this is to show that the Pesukim support Shmuel.
So it's one proof in support of Shmuel and two in support of Rav.
Well, two Mishnayos here, we're taking parts of two Pesukim, Ki Tini Shavriyo, Kesef Okelo, Mishmor, and then we're also looking two Pesukim ahead. So it says, now, In the pasuk of Kiting Isha Reyehu Kesef Okelim Lishmor, the Gemara cites this drasha which we have seen before. Where did we see
Kiddushim Yeralev?
And we're going to have to review that Gemara and Kiddushim again.
Yes.
If you looked at the source sheet, I don't remember what number.
I'm opening up my
with Sarah. The other class, it might be 33.
31? Are you looking at the toast vote?
I'm looking at...
Or Ayin Od Besugya Kiddushin.
What's 33?
Ayin Od Besugya Kiddushin, Yeralef Amad Aleph to Yeralef Amad Beis, Gufa.
Yes.
Amar Rabbi Yehuda,
that
Ad Kasef
Number Kansav. 33, that's a very important... So
I'll
you're going to be reviewing,
it.
And also it's a little bit more of the Gemara than what we had done the first time we did the Gemara and Kiddushin.
Yeah, it says Kasef Kotsav, and then .. Kasef
okay.
Medina. What does that mean?
Kotsav is...
You could prepare it in your...
Kasef Medina.
No. In terms of preparing the source. Like it. Can
he's telling you where to prepare until.
Okay, maybe we'll get there when we get there, and I'll ask then.
Okay. So who can tell me now, back to our Gemara, what is the Gemara saying? So it quotes the Pasuk, and then it mentions the Drasha on the Pasuk, and the way it's written here is, Ma Kelim Shnayim Af Kesef Shnayim. Ma Kesef Dover Chashuv Af Kol Dover Chashuv.
Say
it. Right? So you have the... So what is this Drasha, this type of darshaning. What is this called? Like we have something called the Xerah Shavah, you have a klal, proto klal. What is this?
Binyana.
No.
I'm guessing.
No, because if it were
binyana,
then it would apply to
everywhere
else.
In the
same
it's
an
hakesh. A hakesh. What does hakesh mean?
You make a connection
between two things that are right next to each other.
That's right. Two things that are next to each other, either in the same pasuk or one pasuk after the next pasuk. You make a hekesh. So what is now the hekesh is between what two words in this case? It's kesef okelim, lishmor. So it's a hekesh. Now the hekesh, you see, is a, goes in both directions. What does that mean? It says kesef okelim. That means kesef, from the word kesef, it informs you something about kelim. And kelim informs you something about, well,
that is true.
Let's say kesef. Yeah. So, one, the hekesh is two-directional, right? It goes in both directions. Kesef informs you about Kalim, Kalim informs you about Kesef. Now, you notice the drasha here is, so the way we have it, it says, Ma Kalim Shnayim Af Kesef Shnayim, Ma Kesef Dover Chashuv Af Kol Dover Chashuv. Okay. Uka Omar Rachamana. Let's first discuss that. Ma kelim shnayim af kesef shnayim. So that is clear what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Kelim is plural, because it could have said kli, why it's absent. Kelim is plural. So plural is at least two. So just as kelim is two units, right? Af kesef is shnayim. So two kesef are two units of kesef. Okay. And then ma kesef dover chashuv, and just as kesef is a dover chashuv, now you would, we would have expected, if we're making a hekesh, what should it have said?
Av
kelim dover chashuv. It doesn't do that. It says af kol. So what we're learning out then. That just as kesef is a dover chashuv, so this part actually Zahavi might be right when it says af kol dover chashuv. That more sounds like that part would be a binyanav because you're saying just as kesef is a dover chashuv, then all things need to be because we're not saying af kelim dover chashuv. No, truth is that you go through the Rashi's.
We tried our hardest.
This was hard. Rashi actually it turns out that Rashi changed the girsa. The girsa that existed in many of the manuscripts of Gemara had what? Af Dover Chashuv Af Kalim.
Where he writes the Logar scene in Af Kalim Dover Chashuv.
And Rashi changed it because well, let's go from nothing at a time. So then, according to this, you learn out from Kalim Shnayim, Af Kesef Shnayim, and Kesef is a Dover Chashuv, therefore all items other than what?
Caleb.
Other than Caleb, also have to be a Dabra Chashev. Understand? Now. And then Uka Amar Rahmana, and then the Torah, and then the Torah said, God said, Ki Hu Zeh. Now what do we learn out from Ki Hu Zeh? Modeh B'Mikzas. So first of all, just the psukim, the way Chazal are interpreting the psukim is not so simple. Because why? The parsha begins Ki Yitin Ish Al Reyehu Kesef Ul Kelim Mushmor B'Gunav B'Beis Ha'ish. Im Motzei Haganov Yishalim Shnayim V'Lo Im Motzei Haganov B'Nikvar Baal Bais Elho Elohim Im Lo Shalach Yedo B'Machas Reyehu. So what is this about? There's no Modeh B'Mikzas yet. So what is this about? About a shomer who claims what? That it was stolen. So then the Torah says, well, if we find the ganav, so then the ganav will pay kefil. What if the ganav is not found? Which means we don't know of the ganav. We don't know. We don't have it. But so how do we know it was stolen?
Because he told us.
Because the shomer said so. So then. In Lo Yim Matzei Haganav V'Nigvav Alavai Zehu Elohim, he has to come to court to swear. What does he swear?
That he
wasn't negligent and it was stolen. It's not right.
Doesn't he also have to swear that he didn't use it? Or that
fine,
separate?
But that's not my issue now. So then you have the next pasuk after that. I'll call Dvar Pesha, I'll show Achamar, I'll sell, I'll call Avida, Asher Yomar, Ki Hu Zeh. Adhu Elohim Yavod Dvar Shnehem. So all of a sudden then it says, Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. All of a sudden now, what's that telling? According to Chazal, that's a new case. That's no longer talking about a shomer who claimed the item was stolen and then we can't find the gun that he's going to swear. What is this now? Asher Yomar, that if he says he's Modeh B'Mikzas, meaning what? What does it mean to be Modeh B'Mikzas? So even if we're talking about the shomer, we can construct a Modeh B'Mikzas case even involving a shomer. Can somebody do it for me?
You gave me two sheep to watch.
Yes.
And I watched them, but one of them was stolen. But you think that both of them, I don't
make
have
it any. Simple, make. No sheep has to be stolen, yes.
You claim that, then you gave me two sheep to watch, and I say, no, you only gave me one sheep
to
watch.
That's right. That's it. And the one sheep that I gave, do you have it to return?
Yeah, I have
to return. There's no gnei. I claim from you two sheep, because I asked you two sheep to watch, and you come back and say, what are you talking about? You only gave me one sheep to watch. And here it is. So you're a Modeh B'Mikzas, and you're Kofer B'Mikzas. You're Modeh to one sheep, and you're Kofer the second sheep. So now the Torah is telling us this also Anhu Elohim Yavod Dvar Shnehem, you have to swear. Yeah. But what's the point though? The Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh is a continuation, is really, but what was given to you? In other words, the opening pasuk in the parsha of Ki Yitin Ish Al Reyehu Kesef Ol Kelim Lishmor, that's the same. But now, if the case is Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh, so whatever I gave you initially, you're now being Modeh B'Mikzas. You understand? Okay. So first of all, you have to realize that that's what's going on. Okay, so someone explain to me now. So therefore, how does all this support Shmuel?
Because we originally said that what the Baal gave to the Shomer was Shtei Kesef, because we learn out Shtei Kesef and Kalim. And then we say Ki Hu Zeh, so your Modeh, part of it, part of what? Obviously the two Kesef.
Yeah. Now the simple read of the Psukim is, a man gave to his friend Kesef or Kalim Mishmor. Now based on the Hekesh, we derive that how much did he give him?
Shtei Kesef.
Right? And then later on, two psukim later, it says that if the guy says, the shomer says, Ki Hu Zeh, that he's Modeh B'Mikzas, right? Modeh B'Mikzas, what was the claim against him? Well, it says, Ki Tingi Shavar Yehu Kesef O'Kelo Mishmar. a man gave his friend two kesef. And then later on it says he's moted the mitzvahs. But then it shows that the original claim is shtei kesef, not the kfira. So therefore the simple read of the psukim, you understand, supports Shmuel. So let's go over the Rashi's. And so you said you had a hard time with the Rashi's.
Maybe not these ones, yeah, but we can try.
Okay, so let's now if you notice, that is the opening words of the Rashi. The first Rashi on this, Ki Yiteng Ishet, towards the top of the page. You see it? Tchilas Nesina Beis Kesef. What does that mean, Tchilas Nesina?
The beginning of
original.
The original giving, right, Roshay Kesef. Va'Allah Ka'i Ki Huzeh. What does that mean, Va'Allah Ka'i?
And on that it is written.
And on that stands or refers the Ki Huzeh. Is that the pasuk Ki Huzeh? On it is it referring. What is the it?
The
Shtei Kesef. The Shtei Kesef, the Tchilas Nesina of Shtei Kesef. Right? In those words, you have the whole thing there. What whole thing do I mean? Why the pasuk supports Shmuel? Because it says Ki Tein Yishalrei. That's the beginning of the Nesina of Shtei Kesef. And then it says, Ki Huzeh, and that you're moded to part of that original claim. Okay. V'Allah Koi Ki Huzeh, right? Okay, and then, Dover Chot, it's interesting how to read this now. Chilas Nesina Beis Kesef Allah Koi Ki Huzeh Dover Chashuv. So what is Dover Chashuv now referred to?
Back to the Gemara.
Well, no, we're reading Rashi. When Rashi's saying Dover Chashuv, what's the Dover Chashuv?
The Kesef.
The
like,
Shtei Kesef.
Mm-hmm.
So Chilas Nesina Beis Kesef, and then Kama V'Allah Koi Ki Huzeh, maybe another Kama. Then,
this is why you
then going back to Dover Chashuv, what's the Dover Chashuv? That the base kesef has to be a Dover Chashuv. The Shiaru Chachamim Shema'a Kesef Dover Chashuvu. What does that mean? The Shiaru Chachamim and the Chachamim evaluated that what? That a Ma'a is considered a Dover Chashuv. Okay? And then, Ma Kesef Dover Chashuv, Af Kol Dover Chashuv, Garsina. Right? Rachel, read this. Ma Kesef Dover Chashuv, Af Kol Dover Chashuv, Garsina.
Velo Garsina and Af Kalim Dover Chashuv.
Yeah. And we should not have the Girsa of Af Kalim Dover Chashuv, which you're going to see from all the other Rishon. All the other Rishon did not like the fact that Rashi changed from Mak to Av Kol Dover Chashuv instead of Av Kalim. But Rashi was convinced that Av Kalim Dover Chashuv is a mistake. Now he's going to explain why. The Ilu B'Kalim.
The Ilu B'Kalim Amrin on. The Ilu B'Kalim Amrin on the Ilu B'Kfirat Machatin Chaya.
What does that mean?
That if we were to also say that,
not also that it,
if we were to consider
Kalim
Dover Chashuv, then we'd run into a problem.
Yeah, what's the problem?
Because later in Shvuot on Mem Amud Bet, we say that even someone who denies owing a needle is chayav shvuot.
That's right.
And certainly those are not chashuv. V'hai af kol b'midi d'lav kli ka'amar. So it must mean that when we say Dabar Chashev, we're referring to anything that's not a Kli.
Meaning, so that's why the drasha has to be Ma Kesef Dabar Chashev Af Kol.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the Af Kol?
Af Kol.
Bahai, in this quote, Af Kol, end quote, B'midi D'Lav Kli Ka'amar. What does that mean?
It's
something that is not a Kli. So give me an example of something that's not a Kli. That's not money either.
Flowers.
What? What'd you say?
Flowers.
Okay, flowers, food, grain, right? So what will be, if your motive in Mitzvah, I come to you and say, you'll need 20 bushels of wheat, and you say to me, So what you need as the Dover Chash, that means the original claim, according to Shmuel, would have to be that the value of the original claim, so if I said 10 bushels or 20 bushels, would have
certainly
to be worth two mos.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah. So if I only came to you and I said, you owe me a quarter of a bushel, if you're assuming that that's not worth two mos, but then according
to Shmuel,
you owe
me one stock of wheat.
Yeah, well, then it won't be Chayim Yeshua of Moda B'Mitzvah. So we have to stop. So for tomorrow, just work through this Gemara and see if you can get to the closest.